Yo, peace. It's your man Mo Morris, the One Man Army, and welcome to Strictly for the Brothers. You know, brothers, in life as a man, you are challenged from when you are a baby. And when I say being a man, because you know we all end up being men, but as a male, you are challenged in your childhood. If you don't remember it happening to you, because it happened to all of us. I'm talking about all males. All brothers. Because I can't speak about no other culture. Once again, this is strictly for the brothers. So let me bring it on home. Let me rewind that. I'm talking to the brothers. For doggone show, it's happened to the brothers. Every brother know what I'm talking about. And you ain't going to remember it happening. But you've done it since you've been a child, because you've done it to another child, your damn self. I'm about to show it to you. Now, I ain't saying nobody touching no child. Calm down. But you've done it. You've challenged a child. You challenged a male child. Yes, you have. Yes, you have. As a male, as a brother, being born in this country, your childhood is where challenges begin. And I'm about to show it to you, brothers. Let's think about it. Young baby brother walking around drooling. You know what I'm saying? Shorty just started walking. You know what I'm saying? He's still getting his balance right. You understand what I'm saying? You know, little shorty got the courage to get up off the ground, crawling and standing up. And the baby's standing up. The baby trying to stand up because the baby knows inside himself that he can stand up now. That's why a baby stands up. A baby stands up because a baby knows that they can stand up. I'm going to come back to that. That's powerful. But look here, man. So the young male brother, he stands up. And he drooling and he's smiling and everybody clapping, right? So eventually, as time goes on, you know, little man take his first steps and he moving around, right? But when we start walking and moving too fast, you got to learn your pace in life, too. Because like a baby run too fast and, you know, they fall and you know what I'm saying? It's just, man, you know. But then the young God start falling, right? And when babies first fall, you know, they want to start crying and, you know, whining, right? But when the little brother, when the little baby brother fall, what do we do to when the baby brother fall? We tell that little cat, get up and don't cry. Don't we? Now, we all know how we react to them little girls. Hey, man, the whole room jump up when that little girl hit the ground. Everybody jump up and, oh, God, you know, a couple of people from now on, people be sliding on the floor to stop the little girl from hitting the floor, don't they? I mean, we got people literally turning into stunt men and stunt women to protect them little girls from falling, right? But when that little male boy, when baby brother fall, baby brother told to get up and don't cry. That's challenging. That's how we challenge our male, our baby brothers. We challenge them in their childhood. We tell them if they fall down, we don't make our way to them as fast as we make our way to the little girl. Now, I'm not to sit up here and say if the little boy fall down and draw blood, everybody just going to, you know, throw him a towel. I'm not saying that. We love our male babies. We do. But our first step to our baby brothers is get up and don't cry. And then we telling them to get up by itself. Jesus Christ, we need help, man. Look at that, y'all. We'll tell a little baby brother that fall down. Now, he don't got good balance, just learning how to walk. We a command. We a challenge. Get up. Get up. Get up, baby brother. And don't cry. You know, I like the movie John Rambo. Oh, man, I liked Rambo. You remember when the Rambo knife came out, man, and it had the compass in it? You could unscrew the handle. You could unscrew the bottom of the handle, and it had a compass in it, and you could put stuff inside the knife. I was like, man, God, dog, the Rambo knife. Man, you could cut barbed wire with the Rambo knife. You think I'm lying? Remember when Rambo slid up on the camp? him and the Chinese brawl, you know, that Rambo wasn't super tough when it came to loving that Asian sister, right? I know, right? Yeah, I know. He slid up on the barbed wire and he took the Rambo knife out and cut through the barbed wire. Like, damn, the Rambo knife is ferocious. It could cut barbed wire. Hell, up until that time, I know you, a knife. could cut barbed wire. But that wasn't just a regular knife. That was Rambo's knife. Rambo was a bad boy, man. Rambo was a bad boy. You understand me? Rambo was a bad boy, man. Rambo tore up a police station. One of my favorite scenes in Rambo is when he threw the police officer through the glass window, nigga. You know what I'm saying? And it's not because it was a police officer going through the window that I like. I just like, you know, I ain't gonna get into that. But I'm just saying, you know, I like to see people go through glass like that if they get out of line. That's all I'm saying. Praise God. But Rambo was ferocious. Do you remember Rambo jumping out of the police station with no shirt on, by the way? No shirt on. Rambo in the middle of the small town street, and he out there ducking and dodging, man, and he snatched the cat off a motorcycle, and he jumped off the motorcycle, and he barefoot, and he riding a motorcycle down a small town street. I'm talking about a police chase with a dude on a dirt bike with no shoes on, no shirt on. Are you kidding me? Rambo was ferocious. Rambo went into the woods, and the police officers went into the woods to get Rambo, and Rambo took them down one by one. Because that was Rambo. Rambo was a Green Beret. I didn't even know what a Green Beret was until I saw Rambo. I ain't the only one. For sure, I ain't the only brother. Tell me in the early 80s, when you looked at Rambo and they talked about the Green Beret, you was like, oh yeah, I know what that is. Nah, dog. Rambo was ferocious. He took down an entire police station. Rambo destroyed that whole town. Rambo survived underground tunnels. Rambo survived a rat attack. You remember them rats jumped on his back and you was like, oh my God, this nigga he didn't get rabies or nothing. And he found his way out of the underground mines in the rat attack. He climbed his way out of there, and did the rat bite stop Rambo? No. Rambo climbed up out of there. Then he jumped on top of a truck, and then he kicked the dude out the truck. I'm like, man, this dude is a savage. He ain't hungry. I mean, right? Remember when he killed a hog in the forest? Remember he was on top of the tree? He had put the Rambo knife at the end of the stick, and he was up in the tree, and the hog was walking, and then he jumped down, and you heard the hog scream, and then next thing you know, he cooking hog by campfire. And I'm like, man, this dude's a savage. This dude is a savage. I'm talking about I'm talking about like 82, you know, something crazy. That's when Rambo came out. You understand me? Rambo was unbelievable. Then Rambo drive back into the town. You understand what I'm saying? And then he blow up the gas station. Then he go into the firehouse, not the firehouse, but where they had the weapons and the paint. And he broke into the fireworks shed, y'all. He broke into the fireworks shed and he had the fireworks. It was July 4th in August. And he ain't stopped there. Then he shut the town down, y'all. He had the sheriff get on the town. He had the sheriff get on the town hall speaker. And he was like, hey, y'all need to take it on in the crib because Rambo in the street. Could you imagine one man? That's how cold Rambo was. One man can shut down an entire town. I'm talking about the sheriff of the town on the town hall speaker telling everybody, y'all need to get them groceries on, get on to the house. Because Rambo in the street. Right? Right? And then he got the M6. Dude, he had the helicopter gun in his hand. Rambo was running around with an M60. Not an M16, y'all. Not an M16. You know, you growing up as a boy, you see the M16. You know, the M16 is what the SWAT team be jumping out the truck with, right? You're like, oh, yeah, okay. You know, I know what an M16 is. Yeah. I had never seen no damn M60, homie. And that's the damn gun that they have on the helicopter. Rambo running around out in the street with it. So then Rambo running down the street. And then the sheriff, he shook. You know, the sheriff shook. So the sheriff get on top of the police station. Rambo sitting across the alley, he sizing everything up because, you know, he didn't already release July 4th. And don't forget, he blew up the gas station. So it's already chaos in the street, right? So he didn't shut down the town lights, right? So then there was a few street lights left around the police station. So Rambo slide up on the police station. He just laying in the cut. And then He see the sheriff peek up. He like, oh, this dude on top of the building? Next thing you know, M60 go off. He shoot. He hit the lights, and the rest of the lights in the town go out. I mean, it's pitch black. And what do Rambo do then? Rambo put that M60 on top of the garbage can, family, and let loose on the police station, y'all. On the police station, the very police station in the beginning that he threw that dude to, the very police station where he was downstairs and he beat up about 5-6 police officers. He was across the street with an M60. He knew the sheriff was on top of the building. You know what Rambo did? Rambo put about 500 holes into that building, y'all. Told the police station up. Now, what type of mindset do you have to actively put over 500 holes in a police station by yourself? And then after he filled the police station up with bullet holes, you think Rambo ran off and stole the car and took it on over to Seattle? No. Mm-mm. Rambo ran up in the police station. And he knew old boy was up there with an M16. Rambo ain't stopped. He went in there. Old boy took some shots at him and missed. Then Rambo, you know what Rambo did? He shot up through the ceiling and hit the man, and the man fell through the glass ceiling, the window that they had up there. And Rambo had the gun to the sheriff's chin, homie, and was about to squeeze on him. And then, you know, his commanding officer, Rambo. I mean, Rambo was Agent Orange. He was gone. He's about to kill that man. You understand me? Rambo, right? And why did Rambo do that? Rambo did that because, as he told his commanding officer when he was on the walkie-talkie off in the bush somewhere and they was trying to find him, he was like, they drew first blood, not me. He said they. He didn't care who they was. He was saying, if you drew first blood with me, homie, I'm coming all the way to the end. I'm coming all the way to the end for you, family. Rambo was tough, man. Rambo was so tough, man, that he showed you physically he can just get it done. Right? And brothers, a lot of us running around like Rambo. That's why we challenging the baby brother in the beginning. Because we got a Rambo mindset towards masculinity, don't we, man? We believe that we got to be Rambo. We got to be so physical. We got to own a knife that can cut barbed wire. We got to be willing to put over 500 holes into a police station. Ain't that how we view masculinity, brothers? The toughness of it all. The silence. You know the thing about Rambo? Rambo was real quiet. But he wasn't. Quiet when he was out there at war. He was quiet, homie, but he had become war. He might didn't say nothing, but he created July 4th in August. He put over 500 holes in a police station. So I think he's saying a lot. You know what I'm saying? But brothers, what I want to talk to you about is our approach to life. I respected the hell out of Rambo. I respected the hell out of Rambo because Rambo was physically dominant. He was in tip-top shape. He can turn into war. It was awesome. But, man, I watched the hell out of movies, man. Man, I watch a movie, man. I will watch a movie. You hear me? And I study movies, man. I just jump off into stuff. And when you look at Rambo, you really get to learn Rambo from the war side. But if you pay attention to him, when you first meet Rambo, homie, Rambo is hitchhiking. Rambo ain't got no car. You understand what I'm saying? You know, Rambo, where Rambo sleep at? You know what I'm saying? I mean, when you see Rambo walking down the road, homie, you know what I'm saying? It's beautiful music going, the sun shining. He walking down a grassy hill going to see one of his homies. You understand? That's when you first meet Rambo. You don't meet Rambo with his shirt off. You know what I'm saying? Rambo ain't got no bandana around his head. You know what I'm saying? You don't see the Rambo knife. Rambo going to visit one of his homies, one of his fellow soldiers, one of his fellow brothers of war, a man whose life he had his hands in. You know what I'm saying? This man had Rambo's life in his hand, and Rambo had his life in his hands. You know what I mean, man? And so Rambo walking up to the house, and there's a black mother and black child out there doing folding, putting laundry on the line. And you know Rambo show mama, you know, the picture. And Rambo got a picture of the crew. You understand what I'm saying? You know, he got love in his heart. He got love in his wallet, because he went straight to his wallet and pulled out a picture of him and his buddy, her son. And sister getting mad, man. You know, she really putting that laundry on the line now, boy, you know. Because Rambo don't know that his friend dead. His friend is dead because his friend got poisoned over there based on the toxic gas they was trying to kill the enemy with, ended up killing themselves. And the mama said cancer ate him right up. Just like that. Rambo was shocked. Right? Now, I just told you two different characters of Rambo. I told you the warrior, Rambo the warrior, no shirt on, M60 running around the street on the dirt bike with no shirt on, through the cop, through the glass. I'm going to keep bringing up that glass. I just want everybody to know that. But then I also told you about John. John was a dude that didn't have no car, didn't matter, could walk all over the world, walked up, had a pitch up his friend in his wallet, was coming to laugh with his friend, to spend some time with his friend, and he had found out his friend was dead, and he was crushed. You see, John was calm. John was a brother. John was a friend. He was willing to go visit his friend. His heart was hurt when he found out his friend was dead. John didn't mess with people. John minded his business. John was walking into a small town, hungry, about to go get something to eat. Law enforcement saw John, told John that, hey, man, people don't like people like you here. We're going to put you on the other side of town. Go right down the road. You find something to eat. And Rambo said, man, hey, man, why are you pushing? I'm sorry, John said that. John said, why are you pushing me, man? You feel me? Why are you pushing me? John wasn't no punk, y'all. You know, then the sheriff dropped John off on the other side. And then John said, you know what? Screw that dude, man. I can eat whatever the hell I want to eat. We don't know how decorated Rambo John is at this time. We know that he's Rambo because of the movie credits and all that, but we don't know who John is. John just a dude that ain't got no car, walking down the road, got his clothes in a bag, and praise God. And this man talking about, you need a shower, homie. So he dropped John off and told him he wasn't welcome. You know what John did? Oh yeah, I'm welcome. He walking back into town. Police turn around, go back, mess with John, got John on the side of the car. John ain't broke no laws, man. Found out that John got the Rambo knife. That's when you first see the Rambo knife, right? That's when you first see the Rambo knife. See, that's when things started switching from John to Rambo. Because then he said, what do you hunt? He said, man, what do you do? It was one of the biggest knives I've ever seen in my life. I don't know about you. You know, your granddaddy might have had a whole collection of knives. I don't know. Mine didn't. You understand what I'm saying? So this was the biggest knife I had seen in my life. He was like, why do you need this knife? He's like, for hunting. John said, for hunting. He said, what do you hunt with this? You know what that dude said with his hands pressed on the police car? Name it. That boy said, name it. What do I hunt with this? Name it. And we didn't understand what the hell he meant like about that. But then we saw him jump off that tree and slice that hog. We understood that hogs are included on that list. I gave you that breakdown of John because I wanted you to see that, hey, man. Yeah, in life, you're going to need to be Rambo. Yeah, you are. You are. You are in different parts of your life. I'm not saying you need to be walking through the streets, y'all, creating July 4th and August. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying we need to be posted up, taking out the lights in the city. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying we need to put it over 500 holes in the police station. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is Rambo was the warrior. And we're going to all have to be warriors. We're going to have to be warriors in our home. We're going to have to be warriors in our work schedule. We're going to have to be warriors in studying. We're going to have to be warriors in loving our family. We're going to have to be warriors. We got to be warriors standing up against society, but standing up against society to help build up your future, make your present the best it can be, and navigate through life with wisdom. We got to be warriors to build the black community up where we're doing black business and black community and ain't nobody else making no money in our community. It's going to take warriors. It's going to take Rambo to do that. No doubt about it. Praise God. But in our everyday, we need to have the spirit of John. John wasn't no punk. Now, I ain't saying nobody need to be walking around hitchhiking. I'm not saying that. Nobody, don't stretch of the imagination. You're going to see Mo Morris on the side of the road with his thumb up. You understand what I'm saying? That's not what I'm out here preaching. Now, John can have that hitchhike walking all to himself. That's a movie script. Praise God. But brothers, we need to go visit our brothers. We need to talk to our brothers. We need to love our brothers. You know, I received this message. You know, brothers, I've had a tough weekend. Praise God. I've had some loss in my family. You know, I lost some significance of my family this weekend. I did, man. And brothers, I'm in pain. Let me be clear with you. I'm hurting right now. I'm hurting. Because loss hurts. You understand me? Loss hurts, you know, and you got to be Rambo to fight through the pain, y'all. See, we need Rambo. You do need Rambo, homie. You do need the dude that will create July 4th in August. Yes, you do. You need Rambo to overcome pain and to fight through pain. And to keep pain at bay, to keep pain away from distracting you. You need that, brothers. You do. We all need that, family. We need that. We need that, family. We need to be Rambo to fight through pain. Because pain can take you over. I'm talking about, y'all, the type of pain, the type of loss. I sat in the dark for 5-6 hours. Quiet. Couldn't cut the TV on. Didn't want to cut the TV on. Didn't want to run from it. I had to be Rambo. See, then you get you going back to Rambo. When you study his history, you learn his history. You know, Rambo had been caught up in them Cambodia camps, them Vietnam War camps. You know, I'm talking about, you know, they show you Rambo with the beard and, you know, he up on the cross and the Asian man run the blade across his chest. That's why he snapped in the police station because they thought they was about to shave him. You know, then Rambo got kind of uncomfortable when he saw the blade come out. You understand what I'm saying? It's because Rambo had been in hell. Rambo had been in pain. Rambo had been a prisoner of war. Black man, I think we can relate to that. You know, we always run around. We behind enemy lines and the enemy, the government don't like the black man. And you know, we got to grow up behind enemy lines. And Malcolm X said, only a fool would let the enemy educate his children. You know what I'm saying? You know, brothers, I'm not about to sit up here and act like it ain't a challenge living in this society. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not going to sit up here and act like, hey, man, I'm a black man that know what it is. I'm a brother that live it, too. You know, I'm a brother that when the police pass you up, you look in your rearview mirror to see what move the police going to make. Yeah, brother know what I'm talking about. I'm that brother. I'm a black man that's aware. Man, I went and worked out in the gym the other day, family. Not in the gym. I went and did push-up city in the field in the local park, and I got there early. You know what? I had parking. You know, I'm in the shy, so I got a rental vehicle. But man, I got a Dodge Ram truck, family. Man, bros, hey, look, I stay in Georgia, so I see a lot more black men driving those trucks. So I've been interested in them, bros. That's a nice ride. So I parked it because you need space with them big ass tanks. So I parked it. I did my joint, and it take me about, let's say I got out there about 7, and it's a school out there. Excuse me. So school has started. So I probably had been out there about 1.5-2 hours doing push-up city. And I was coming back to the truck, and a police officer was coming down the street. And you know when you see the police, you aware. And he turned around as he got near me. And he slowed down as I walked to the truck. And I'm like, man, what did I do? And I was out there with the tank top on. And you know, I'm a big dude. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, man, do I look like a person of interest? I don't know. You know how we get when the police are around us. We become aware of our surroundings. Right on. Praise God. So the officer, he honked at me and pulled up on me. And it was a brother. And he said, hey, man, what's going on? I said, hey, officer, how you doing, sir? Once again, my grandmother told me to always address the police. Yes, ma'am. No, sir. I said, how you doing, sir? He said, man, they called on you. I said, they called on me? You know, I'm like, man, who called on me? I mean, you know, now this is a multicultural school, you know, so it'd be some white mamas out there walking their dog and all that. So, you know, I'm like, I know. I mean, I said, man, I said, officer, I just was just working out, sir. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe this. He's like, nah, man, they called about your truck being parked in a school zone. I was like, officer, I'm sorry, I'm getting out. He's like, no problem, brother. I was like, be safe, sir. He was like, thank you, brother. I mean, and once we got Pat, when he hit me with that type of love, that's when he became brother. I said, thank you, brother. He was like, no problem, brother. Then he went down the street and parked. And when I left and I parked and I went by, I shot him the deuces. You know what I'm saying? Now, that black man was a police officer. He could have gave me a ticket. He could have jumped down my throat. But he showed me love. He understood where I was coming from. I was respectful. You see what I'm saying? I gave him love. He gave it right back to me. I gave him respect. He gave me respect. Gave it right back to me. Shot the brother to deuce and went on about my way. So you know how we get. We get that. My Rambo was starting to flare up in me, though, G. My Rambo was starting to flare up in me. But I allowed my John to speak. Can you see what I'm saying there, brothers? I allowed my John to speak. You know, his name is John Rambo. They just gave us Rambo because Rambo is the dude that's creating July 4th in August. Rambo is the dude that's riding down the street on the dirt bike with no shirt on and barefoot and just threw the police officer through the window. That's Rambo. But John is who we got to be. John is the dude that's walking quietly, going to visit his friends. You understand? John is quiet. John is calm. John is law abiding. Right? But the part of John, I want you to understand, John loved his friends. John loved his brother. I don't know if you remember, but after John had the gun to the sheriff's chin and his commanding officer screamed Rambo, and then he put the gun down and then he started crying. You know what I mean? No, I'm sorry. Then old boy was starting to, you know, hey, man, you know, he was trying to preach to Rambo. And Rambo turned around like, man, I ain't trying to hear that, man. Rambo was more than, he was a warrior, but, man, he had a reason. See, Rambo had a cause. Rambo was like, look, man, don't bring that over here, man. You asked me to fight. I didn't ask you. You asked me to go to war. I fought for this country. And I can't even come back and get a job in this country. I was in charge of multi-million dollar equipment. You understand what I'm saying? See, Rambo was full of rage. That's why Rambo snapped. Rambo snapped because he was full of rage. He was talking about how he had served this country and look at how this country treats me. They calling me baby kidder and spitting on me. Who the hell are they to judge me? They ain't been what I've been. They ain't been through what I went through. Don't that sound like you, brother? Don't that sound like the rage that's inside the black man? Hey, man, why they pulling me over? Driving while black. You know, we got all this driving while black, black on black crime. You know, it's always when it comes to our slogans, it's deaf, dumb, and blind over here. Our whole life ain't Rambo, y'all. Our whole life ain't Rambo. If you live your life moving through life like Rambo, dog, you're going to snap. You're going to be angry. You're going to give up. You're going to do what you got to do. You're going to let your desperation lead you. You're going to let your rage lead you. All because you snapped. You got pushed too far. You allowed yourself to be pushed too far. Brothers, we have to find our John. We have to communicate with our John. We have to communicate through our John. And John, not a punk. John is the dude that if John would have just kept walking after that sheriff dropped him off and said, you're not welcomed in this town. If John would have kept walking, nothing would have happened. It would have been all good. Praise God. But see, John decided to turn around. Because John stood there He looked like, all right, I can just keep on walking. And he looked back towards the town, or I can walk back into town. And John decided to turn around and go back into town. John was walking back into the town peacefully. Police officer pulled up on him, cut him off in the street, act like he was breaking the law for just walking down the street, wanting to go get something to eat. Next thing you know, he had his hand on his gun to tell him to put his hands on the car. He tried to put his hands on Rambo, on John. John snatched away. Don't that seem like us, brothers? Next thing you know, the sheriff had his hands on his gun, told Rambo to put his hands on the car. Rambo hadn't done nothing. All John was doing was walking down the street. Yeah, he might did need a shower. No doubt about it. But it's not a crime to be musty. Now, it's against natural man law. You know, I shouldn't be smelling your ass, you know, but hey, brother, you know, praise God. But just because you musty don't mean you ain't got a right to eat. Right? John was even John in the police station. He just didn't cooperate. You ain't about to be running my fingerprints and, you know, but he could have smashed all them cats in there from jump. But, he was cooperating. You know, he let them put the water holes on them. You know what I'm saying? Homie beat him down with the billy club. You know, man, it's a lot of similarities of Rambo and the brother. You know, Lord knows we didn't have some billy club on our ass. Lord knows we didn't have that water hose on our ass. You know? He stayed John, though. They didn't put the billy club to him. They didn't hit him with the water. You understand? But then came time to shave him. Still John. Right? He uncomfortable with the razor. So he like, nah, man, we ain't doing the razor thing. Then they like, oh, no, you going to do this razor thing. So then what happens? Buddy puts the dude get behind him, grab his billy club, hold it across his chest. So now they got him bound, right? So Buddy say, look, man, don't move. I don't want to slice your throat. You know, he think it's funny. And Rambo don't think it's funny because then he flashing back to that Vietnam camp being on the cross with the blade going across his neck on his chest. And what Rambo do? He let out his war cry. Next thing you know, he going backwards with old boy behind him and he busts him into the wall. Then Rambo come out because he was pushed to his limit. Right? Brothers, as a people, we've been pushed to our limit. As a people, our people, black people, the brothers and the sisters, we have been pushed to a limit. Don't you think? We didn't have the billy club on us. We didn't have the water hose on us. You know what I'm saying? And like I said before, and I'll say it here, I don't think we shall overcome no more, y'all. And God bless that song. God bless that song. That song is a part of our history. You doggone right. And I believe that at certain ceremonies and things like that, we should sing that song in a tribute to the brothers and sisters that sang that song and really meant it when they sang it. We don't mean it when we sing it, brothers. I'm sorry. I don't mean it when I sing it. Oh, Mo, that's my God. What do you mean, Mo? I'm sitting up here listening to you, brother, and you talking about you don't mean it when you sing We Shall Overcome. What the hell going on, Mo? You need to say something, bro. You need to explain that. I hear you, brother. Praise God. You don't mean it either, brother. If you wasn't out there getting your ass whooped, if you don't know what the teeth of a dog feel like on your ass, if you don't know what it's like for the white man to be looking you in the face that got the police uniform on, and when you see him on his off time, he hanging out with the brothers that wear the sheets, and you know, hey man. You know, you got the farmer and Elmer Fudd and them running up in your house. That's what they did. That's how they got Emmett. They ran up in his people's house. They ran up and snatched Emmett out of the bed. Ain't no white man running up in your house like they can try. I'm talking about the white man ran up in them people's house. Them people didn't raise their voice. Stop talking about out they sleep. What the hell going on? Do you see as a white man? Yes, sir. In your house at 3 o'clock in the morning looking for your nephew. And when Nan got him. We don't know what that feel like. We don't know what that type of fear feel like. That's why I don't sing We Shall Overcome. That's how I know I don't mean it. Because I don't know what it feel like to be underneath foot. Them brothers and sisters were not considered human, homie. I don't care what nobody say. Because if we did understand that, if we did mean it, it ain't no way in hell we'll be living the way we living right now, brothers and sisters. I mean, brothers. And I ain't coming at nobody's head. I'm just giving you the example of we don't mean it when we sing We Shall Overcome. How can we? We don't even know what it is to feel what they feel to know that they got to overcome it. You understand what I'm saying? I believe that we have overcame. And we need to operate in that. So like I was saying, brothers. When it we've been up against it, so we've been pushed to the limit as a culture, brothers, especially the brothers. Look, I'm not. What we don't do on here is we don't go back and forth with women. We don't do all that. But the facts are the facts. They've targeted the black man from day one. Let's just keep that 100 to the wall. Hell, they look at the woman as the spoils of war. Our women. The women are the spoils of war. Ain't no white man or no brown man or no Asian man. He ain't worried about that black woman. He ain't worried about her. The reason that she want to be so strong and be so masculine and get the promotion and things like that, that's been encouraged. That's the energy in the street. When you look on television, they worshiping women. They worshiping black women. They, you know, man, praise God. Right on, sisters. Right on. You know, they've been telling the black woman she don't need no black man. Real sisters know that's not true. You ain't got to. We can't win that war, y'all. We ain't got no networks. We ain't got no TVs. We ain't got that, family. So what we got to do is we got to know that within ourselves. And that needs to be promoted. That's what I'm talking about, brothers. See, that's what I'm talking about. Let's understand that. Hey, man, we have been pushed to the limit. Our Rambo is out. But what we going to do with that warrior? You know, it's easy to be like, man, we going to meet up. We going to get at the conference and we going to do this, that, and the third. Hey, bruh, that might happen and that might not happen. But what I'm saying is, what I'm talking about, family, you don't need 500 brothers to do it. You understand? You started in yourself. You learn how to get control of your Rambo and you point your Rambo in the right direction and let them loose. Whether that be first and foremost in your family. And I mean, and look, family, what I'm learning, man, when I say family, man, and you know, they say your family is your blood. You know what I'm saying? And I hear that. I'm not in disagreement with that at all. But even if your family don't treat you like they love you, man, then they don't love you, G. You know, what you got to do is find out what family is to you. Yeah, you respect your blood. No doubt about it, man. But, man, I'm going to give you what you give me, G. I'm going to give you what you give me. I'm going to give you what you give me. You know, so let's don't get so distracted by titles. And let's not even be distracted by blood. You should respect blood. You should respect blood. You should be where you're supposed to be when it comes to blood. But you know, man, no. Let's don't be so distracted. Let's pinpoint our Rambo in the right direction in our family first. And the family could be those that show love to you, family. You understand what I'm saying? Let's let our Rambo go and build in our future. Let's be warriors in building our futures. Let's let our Rambo go in the building up our community, man. Where you can get in and fit in at on helping the brothers and sisters, right on, man. And if we got, and I'm gonna say this, brothers and sisters, if we know that our children are having problems reading, doing math, then doggone it, we can start there when it comes to impacting our future. Brothers and sisters, we have to focus on education. We got to let our Rambo go in that. Right? We got to let our Rambo go in the areas of consciousness. You understand what I'm saying? We got to get some consciousness. And what I mean by consciousness, I'm talking about awareness and awareness of who we are, family. You know, man, I was raised in church, man. I was raised in church, brothers, and I'm not about to sit up here and try to start no religious war, but I'm gonna let my Rambo go on the fact that when it comes to our connection to this world and to the creator of this world, it goes way beyond Jesus Christ. You know, the black man is older than the story of Jesus Christ. I want everybody to hear me on that. You know, you can have your debate about the first man and all this, that, and the third, and I'll debate that too. But doggone it, this is for sure a fact. The black existence on this planet is longer and bigger than the existence of Jesus Christ. So we have to let our Rambo go on our consciousness and discovering who we are when it comes to this planet, to this universe. Hell with letting somebody put the limits on our mind and have us believing that our history starts with slavery and our Lord and Savior is a dude that looked like a white man I see each and every day. I think that the creator of me and the dog and the frog and the tree and provides the oxygen and, you know, keeps the planet in orbit and things. I think the creator of that is a little bit deeper than blonde hair and blue eyes and a story told from the European side of things. I think the creator of me and everything I just named needs to have a little bit more reverence to the game than color, hair, and eye color. Who in the hell even said that the true creator of this universe could even be packaged around flesh? I want to think that my creator, yeah, the creator can choose to do what the creator chooses to do, but that sounds like a real basic story. You know, I don't believe my creator should have a first and last name like Jesus Christ. Then when you study history and learn that it's Jesus the Christ, then you learn that a lot of individuals got the name the Christ. Study the history, man. I just believe that my creator has a little bit more reverence to be limited to a color and to have hair and to have eye color just as I do. Period. So I believe we need to let our Rambo go in our consciousness and find some things in history that apply strictly to us. Strictly to us, y'all. Strictly to us. So, brothers, we must begin to work through our John. We must begin to learn how to navigate through life with our John, with a calm, strong presence. You're not a punk. You are just calm and you are strong. You are very observant. You are aware who's around you. You're aware where you're going. You have your goals online and you just walking mentally and emotionally. You are walking towards that goal each and every day, not allowing anyone to distract you because you locked in and you are focused. You are moving and living through your John, even though you have the strength of Rambo in you. Brothers, it's time to understand that Rambo doesn't need to walk around each and every day. The world sees the warrior each and every day. You are the warrior, bro. You are. But the world don't need to see your Rambo every day. The world don't need to see the dude outside with no shirt on the dirt bike screaming down the street. No, it's a time and place to bring that buddy out. But how we need to operate with the world is the silent strength of John. John Rambo. When you look at the story of Rambo, you see a lot of similarities, brothers. We see a lot of things to learn from. Now, I'm not saying white John Rambo is the black man's image. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is you got to learn how to look at things and to study things and to pick things up and to dissect things. Use your mind. And it's just like eating fish. Eat the meat and spit out the bones. What you can learn, you add to your tool belt. In life, brothers, we have to have a tool belt. You got to have multi-talents, brothers, because we brothers living in this society. And we can cry and we can complain or we can understand how to navigate to this thing and to win. And the only way we're going to win is if we operate and we move through life with our John, but we're motivated by our Rambo. John still got the warrior in him. And when we begin to be John on the outside and be driven by the Rambo inside of us, and then the more and more of us that click together, the stronger we will be. Peace. I'm your man, Mo Morris, the One Man Army, and thank you for listening to Strictly for the Brothers. Peace. What up, Chicago?